How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise them in the air, please. Amen. That's bearing witness of God's Word. The only thing more beautiful than seeing a house full of people is seeing a house full of people with God's Word in their hands. So we praise Him for that. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. When you find your place, just say, I have it. Luke, chapter 18. Everybody have it? Amen. You may be saying, this is the same passage of Scripture we looked at last week. And you are right. Hopefully we'll finish this week. There's a lot of meat in this chapter, and we look at a story about a man who was blind that was healed. We talked last week about crying out to Jesus. How many people remember about crying out to Jesus? We looked at this blind man that sat. And the key word is he sat. He was blind. He couldn't do anything about it. It wasn't something that he could help, but he sat and he stayed blind. But one day he stopped sitting and crying about his condition. And he cried out to Jesus. And when he cried out to Jesus, Jesus heard him and he healed him. Now understand, it's not wrong to cry about your condition. It happens to us. We have things happen to us and our emotions put us to a point of crying. A lot of times we can't stop those things from happening. But you know, when you're crying, you're not happy. I'm not talking about the happy tears. I'm talking about the tears that come when there's a situation in your life, and that situation in your life is not what you expected. And so because that situation in your life is not what you expected, or that situation in your life is not what you think you deserved, or that situation in your life doesn't seem to be getting any better, you find yourself almost in a state of mourning about the situation that you're in. Has anybody ever been in that spot before? All of a sudden, from out of the blue, you're troubled. Maybe you did have something to do with it. Maybe you didn't have anything to do with it. Regardless, it doesn't make the hurt any better. So you find yourself sitting and crying. At some point in time, you will realize that that will not help the situation, even though it's needed. It's needed for your healing. It's needed for your mourning. And at that particular time, you will have to cry out to Jesus. And when you cry out to Jesus, and He knows you believe in His healing, He will stand still like He did for this blind man. And He will invite you to come to Him. And He will ask you what you want. Of course, we read the story, right? So that was crying out to Jesus. I think we called last week crying or crying out. But there's another story in this. And this story is what happened after Jesus healed this man. Not before when he was crying out, but after. So today, as we look at the rest of the story, we'll find this man, after he was healed, still crying out. You say, well, if he's still crying out, what's his problem? Jesus came and healed him. He's not crying out anymore because of his situation. He's crying out in praise. So see, something happens after you cry out to Jesus. Now understand the order here. You can't help sometimes things that go wrong in your life. You can't help the trouble that comes. But you can help how long you take to cry out to Jesus believing He can heal you. And then you do have control of the crying out to praise Him after. But you can't praise Him unless first you cry out to Him for that healing. So let's watch all this materialize here. And I want to go back to the theme verse that we had as we began last week's sermon. It wasn't even in the book of Luke. It was in Psalms 34. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but I'll read it to you again. Remember this. This was spoken by David. He said in Psalms 34, 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." This was David's testimony. Say it with me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. Now listen, he had trouble. We realize that, but we realize he realized he had no resources to get himself out of this trouble. He was poor. But we do realize he cried out to God, and we realize that the Lord heard him, and then we realize that he was saved out of his trouble, all in this testimony. But David was speaking about something bigger and stronger here. Number one, it was the ability that he had as a believer to cry out to God. How many of us, as we talked about last week, how many of us take for granted the ability that we have to cry out to God? I told you last week in the service, one of the greatest things, if not the greatest thing about being a believer, a child of God, we think, oh, well, it's heaven or it's the blessings here. The greatest thing you have about your salvation is the ability to cry out to God. When you become a child of God, he encourages you. He continues to tell you through his word, come to me, come to me, come to me, right? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open unto you. He continually tells us, cry out to me. And then the next thing, David was stating that he had a confidence in knowing that the Lord heard him. This poor man cried, yes, he cried out, but the Lord heard him. Now, this is a pretty big deal because I can cry out all day long. Let's say the room was empty, the building was empty, and I fell from the steps. And the closest person to me was somebody outside of the building. My crying out is not going to help anything, is it?
That's right.
But what if there's a person right outside of the door? Then I'm going to cry out all the more, right? Because that person is there. So understand, there needs to be a hearer. He's saying, I cried out, he heard me, and then, well, he's praising about the deliverance. He delivered me out of my troubles. So this Psalms 34:6 was not just an informative statement by David. It was a declaration of praise. A declaration of praise. It was a praise to God by David because he felt the need to rejoice and praise God for the ability to cry out to him. I think that's a bigger issue than just us remembering that we need to cry out to God, because we don't need any coaching when life gets really bad to know, if you're a believer, I've ran out of my options, I don't know what else to do. This is happening in my marriage, or this has happened with my child, or this is happening with my job, or this is happening with my relationship, or this is happening with my health, and I don't have any answers. Jesus, can you please help me? Who has to coach you to do that when it gets to the very end?
Nobody.
The problem is we wait to the very end. He tells you to do it sooner, right?
That's right.
So, what's the bigger message? Well, the bigger message is something that we're going to talk about, and we're going to use this blind man and David to be able to bring about this point. You see, David was praising God in Psalms 34 for all these reasons that he had to praise. You say, what do you mean? Understand this. David was a man who saw the need to cry out in praise. Cry out in praise. Just like this blind man we'll see, David was giving a praise here that God was available to cry out. You see, if you only cry out in praise, or if you only cry out in need, then you're going to stay in need. God wants you to cry out in praise. At some point in time, you will need to praise him for answering the cry that you had in need. So if I look at David's life and I see this testimony here, I want you to see something pretty neat. I'll give you a little background on David, and I'll try to be brief with it. You can go all the way back through the Old Testament. You can go in the book of Chronicles. You can go in the book of 1st, 2nd Samuel. You can look through the book of Kings. You'll see different acts that happened during this time. David implemented praise in the kingdom of Israel. He was the king. He praised God when he was a boy. He praised God when he was a young man. He praised God when he was an older man. But as king, he implemented praise. Listen to this. I just pulled this, just one of the scriptures out of 2 Chronicles 7:6. It says, And the priest united. They waited on their offices. the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded the trumpets before them, all of Israel stood. Sort of butchered the scripture, but I want you to get the point. David wanted Israel to be so in tune with God that he implemented praise according to how God had laid down. Because understand, when the children of Israel were traveling through the desert in the wilderness, God had implemented, this is how you worship me. So when Israel was under the kingship of David, David said, now listen, we're going to come together. Here's the instruments we're going to praise him with. I'm going to implement worship. When the priests start doing this and we start doing this, notice the end of this. All of Israel stood. So there was a response to the worship. You see, the king had made a praise to the Lord because his mercy endureth forever. And when David praised and was blessed by their ministry, the people praised. You say, well, how does all that tie in? Well, it'll tie in at the end. Sort of keep it right here in your head. Think about it a little bit, and we'll move on. You see, when we cry out to God in praise, it's a response to God for something he's done or something that we believe he can do. And there's a lot of times in our life, even as Christians, that we lose our praise. You've heard the phrase before, we're going to get our praise on. Well, you don't get your praise on for somebody else. And as I talk about crying out in praise today, I'm not trying to convince you or force you to praise God more. If you're a Christian, if the Spirit of God works in you, and if you believe what the Bible says, you won't have to be forced. We get in this prideful stance where we say, we don't want anybody to tell us what we have to do. Okay. Well, you'll answer to God. I'm not going to tell you what to do. God's going to have his word today, so you take that up with God. I'm just going to preach what he tells me to preach, but it'll be up to you to respond to his message today.
Right.
I want you to understand whether he has shown mercy on you or goodness or favor or protection or provision or companionship or even material blessings. Praise is a response to God. It's important you understand that word response. Now, I did the children's sermon on purpose because they're just learning. We know this, but we forget it. We know that a conversation takes more than one person, right? It takes a person to respond. But if God has shown you mercy, companionship, provision, protection, all these things, what response are we giving him? Are we giving him the response that the one example did, just a short response, thank you, Lord, move on? Are we in dialogue, open dialogue, fluent conversation with God? Are we responding to him? Because it is, the conversation can continue to go on. He speaks to you, you speak to him. He speaks to you, you speak to him. But if you fail to continue to cry out in praise in your response, the conversation will stop. And I wish I would have known this so much earlier in my life, because I didn't have a problem crying out to him whenever I ran out of all the answers. I didn't need someone to remind me, hey, you have nothing left you can do about it. You need to cry out to God. He was my last resource, so that's where you would go. This takes a long time to get to your last resource, doesn't it? When we cry out to God in praise with our voice or with song or with our actions, that's a response. I was trying to tell these children today, we come together and worship. The same way David was talking about. We came together today, and guess what? His presence, it came in with each believer. And then if we want a conversation with God, we cry out to him in song. When we cry out to him in song and we sing, how great thou art. Couldn't have been a better song today. then God speaks to us about what he's done for us. During the song, I remember he's been so much better to me than he should have done. Then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. That's my inner response. And then before I know it, thank you, Lord. I want to praise you. My hand raised is another response. And when Miss Carrie is singing that song this morning, and I'm thinking about all these things that happened and about the bondage he's let me out of and losing in my chains, I'm saying, thank you, Lord, and amen, and praise the Lord. Guess what's happening? I'm in open conversation with God. You say, well, that's good for you, not for me. That's fine. That's fine. That's conversation. That's conversation with God. Not because I call it conversation. I want you to see what the Bible calls it. David made this statement in Psalm 7:17. He said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to his name, to the name of the Lord Most High. David didn't have a problem praising, did he? David knew how important it was to cry out to God in praise, not just for him, but also for those around him. If you go back and reference this, go back and reference, and we're not going to read it today, but if you go back and reference 2 Samuel chapter 6, okay, put this in your notes. Here's what happened. Are you guys familiar with the Ark of the Covenant? Yeah. All right, for people that have been in church, you're familiar with the Ark of the Covenant. If not, let me give you a brief rundown. The Ark of the Covenant was an ark, a container that God's specified all the dimensions. This ark was to be carried by the children of Israel during their time when they were basically by themselves making their way through the wilderness. It was the center of all their worship. It represented the presence of God. It was such a holy article of worship that it was kept. Nobody moved until it moved. Nobody stopped until it stopped. It went before. Only the most holy place and only the chief priest was able to go in even to be around it. It was the presence of God. It had different things in it that gave it its holiness. So it represented the presence of God. Well, Israel, after they were blessed, became lax. And they said, well, it can go here or it can go there. And so they lost God's favor because the presence of God wasn't near them. Is that pretty good rundown? Okay. They lost God's favor, so it was over here. Well, they realized, listen, hey, we're losing battles. We're losing land. God's blessing it in us. We need to get this ark back. And David was the king, and he said, bring it back to this place. So in 2 Samuel 6, it was on the way back to Israel, and David stopped when it started. He said, listen, we're going to respond to God. God is going to show us favor. Here's his presence. Here's the first thing we have is his presence. So we're going to begin to rejoice and respond to God. So David began to shout. David began to sing. The trumpets blew. He began to dance. Anybody ever read that story? He danced and he celebrated that the presence of God was coming back. Well, he did this knowing that he was doing it to praise God. But the end result was that as David praised God, all of Israel began to praise God. He didn't just see himself as the king. He saw himself as the spiritual leader of Israel. So in other words, if David didn't rejoice and sing and praise God, how many of those subjects would have rejoiced and sang and praised God?
That's right.
It was his responsibility. He knew that when you begin to cry out to God in praise, then others begin to be moved to praise God also.
Amen.
How many people have ever been in a service? And boy, your mind was on something else and you just weren't into it. And then all of a sudden the Spirit of God moved, and it happens a lot in this service, right? And the Spirit of God moves and you see somebody moved. I've watched this in our testimony services and with these guys. Before long, you look around and this person, something they said hit them. It was the Word of God spoken through them. Or you read this Bible scripture and God finds you right where you're at. He's went back to your pew and he said, this is for you, sister. This is for you, brother. And all of a sudden you're moved, and all of a sudden that presence flows to you. That's the way the Holy Spirit moves from here to here. To hear, right? Well, it has to start somewhere. So today we look back at our story at Luke 18. This is our text, and we'll continue to study the same text this week, the same text where we saw this blind man cry out, the same text where we see that he spent his life crying and sitting, and Jesus came to town and he stopped crying. And he started crying out to Jesus. But something happened after that. You see, today, I want us to notice that When this man began to cry out to Jesus in belief, and when Jesus delivered him out of his trouble, I want us to notice that this man did not stop crying out. And you may say, well, why is he still crying out if Jesus has healed him? Well, he's doing the most important crying out. Now he's crying out in praise.
Amen.
You see, he continued to cry out, but he cried out in praise. That's what you need to remember. Luke 18, I'll read this to you. Verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, talking about Jesus coming. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou have me do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. So we watched the healing of this man take place last week. We watched the adversity in him even coming to Jesus. Remember, he got to that time of need and his belief was so much there. I believe he's the Messiah. He's the one that can heal me. So he cried out, Jesus, Jesus, right?
Amen.
And those that were proper said, hey, don't cry out to him like that. That's not reverent. That's not right. Quit crying out to him like that. This man didn't think of that as a chance to be healed. He thought of it as his last chance to be healed. He was desperate. So it says he cried out all the much more. And that's what you have to do if you want to be healed in any situation, is cry out to Jesus.
Amen.
It could be a physical situation or it could be a spiritual situation. But before a person can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they have to cry out to Jesus. What did the publican cry out? God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. That's all he had to cry out. He realized he was lost. But when this man cried out, Jesus stood and said, what do you want? And he said, I want to see, Jesus. I just want to see. I just want to see. And Jesus looked in his heart and looked at his words and said, this man believes me. And he healed him. And he said to this man, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Thy faith has saved thee. So understand, this man had the ability to be healed the whole time he was sitting there. It wasn't Jesus that said, I touched you. He said, your belief that I could touch you is what healed you. You see, sometimes you're not going to be to where you feel like Jesus is just walking by you, but understand, your belief takes you to Jesus anytime, anywhere you are. It puts you in communication with God, in constant communication. And if you're down right now in the midst of troubles and you're sitting there and by good reason you're crying because life has just caved in on you and you don't think it's getting any better, understand your belief in God's ability to heal your situation is what will save you from your situation. Your belief is the tool. You see, he continued to cry out, and our sermon this week goes from these last two verses. He said, receive thy sight in verse 42. Thy faith have saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God.
Amen.
Here's what I want you to see today. Within this last verse, there are three major points that we have to see in this story to understand what's gone wrong in our life. What do you mean what's gone wrong in our life? Well, I can tell you from the beginning, I accepted the Lord when I was a young man. I saw my condition. I knew I was lost. I knew that Jesus died for me. I saw that I'd never accepted his salvation by asking him to forgive me of my sins. I realized I am lost. I have to come to Jesus. He loved me. He died for me. His blood's the only thing that can cleanse my sins. Save me, Lord, save me. Anybody ever done that? That's when you cried out to him. But do you realize throughout a large portion of the rest of my life, a large portion, I would find myself in times of trouble, and I would cry out to him, and he would answer me, and then that's where it would stop, because there was no response after that. There was no cry out of praise. There was no continual cry out of praise. And so I began to realize a little too late in life, well, not too late, God's mind, his thinking is way above ours, so even no more intelligent than I am, I can figure this out. If the only time that I'm crying out to God is when I'm in trouble and God seeks my fellowship, but as soon as he delivers me out of trouble, I do my thing and I'm not crying out in praise, where would be the best place to keep old Mike? In trouble. And until I got that last part right, I could blame God, I could blame me, or I could just sit and cry. Guys, this is big. There's a scripture that goes with this. Mark tells a story a different way. You know, I love the synoptic gospels. They both tell the same story, and Mark tells the story of Bartimaeus. He gives him a name, Bartimaeus, and the last verse of his story says, "And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way." So let's look at Luke's version first, in Luke 18. And you'll see what happens to this blind man, the blind man that was crying, the blind man that was crying out to Jesus. We'll see what happens to him after Jesus delivered him out of his trouble. You see, none of you in this room, strong Christians, believers, you probably have no doubt in believing God can deliver you out of your trouble. How many people believe God can deliver you out of your trouble? And a lot of us, that's not where the problems rest. It's when he does. And then we backslide into some same trouble. Before long, we're having to cry out again, right? The first thing I want you to notice in Luke 18 is he received his sight and he followed him. Number one, he followed him. Tell the person beside of you, what did he do? Now, this is important. He didn't just cry out to God in his time of need and get delivered from his trouble. He followed Jesus after he was delivered. After he was delivered. How many of us cry out to God in our time of need like we're supposed to? We've got that part right. But once that need is met, we fail to keep following Jesus. We cry out to him to come to us, Jesus, Jesus, the same way that Bartimaeus did. Please help me. Please help my situation. Please help my health. Please help my marriage. Please help my kids. Please help my finances. Please help all this stuff. It's gone wrong, and God, I have nowhere to turn. Please help me. And God sees you and has mercy on you, and he says, I'm going to do this for you. And as soon as he does, we're happy about it. We say, thank you, Lord. And how many weeks does it take before sometimes we even use those blessings to get away from him? This man followed him after he was healed. You see, I think Jesus is basically watching us to say, are you going to follow me just when you need something? Or are you going to follow me because you love me? Are you going to follow me just when you need something? You're going to follow me for no reason. I can tell you, and I've told you this before, you know, when my children come to me and love on me, and they get through loving on me and they say, Dad, hey, I was thinking about this. I really need you to help me with this or do this. I understand they came to me and they loved on me and they needed this help, and I was glad to give it to them. But I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more special when they come to me for no reason and love on me. And they love on me because I'm Dad. And they love on me because they know I love them and protect them. Now, that's good love there. Not that I'm not willing to give them something, but there's no agenda behind it, right? If I come in and Angie's got meatloaf and cream potatoes, broccoli casserole with no onions, a cherry pie, I like to smell the bread. I don't want to eat it, but I do want to smell it before I eat. Has all that sitting there. little glass of water, just the right amount of ice in it and everything, and a little touch of lemon. She sits down beside me and she says, hey, you know what I was thinking? You think we could do this or do this? Well, I know what that meal's about, right? Right? I know what that meal's about. I've been looking up and I found this thing a week ago. I found this thing. You know, I know what that's about. I know the way it works. But when I come in and that's cooked, and she said, I just love you. I just want to cook a meal for you. That's good. It tastes the same as the other, but it feels different. You understand what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. Follow me after I do something for you. I want you to come before, but afterwards, this is where we're losing it, guys. This blind man did it. This is one of the biggest problems we have today in our society as Christians. We cry out to Jesus, then we don't follow him. You see people that accept the Lord as their Savior. They come and they're broken. God, please help me. I'm in this desperate situation. And we don't even know where they're at today. You can't find them in church. You can't find them praising God. They're not following. You find people that go through a marriage problem or a finance problem or a relationship problem, and they're at the bottom, and God restores them and helps them, and they finally got peace. And then when they find that peace, they're not following anymore. Next stop, the next stop is for you to be sitting crying again. We don't understand that repetition, right? You see, we had that time also like this man that we were desperately crying out to the Lord for help, and we needed him to heal our situation, but once he did, we took our blessing and the Lord stopped hearing us cry out because we stopped. Thanks for the blessing, Lord. Gotta go. Thanks for the job, Lord. It's enabled me to have more money. I'm going to spend this money staying away from you. Thanks for the health, Lord. I appreciate the health. Now that I'm healthy, I don't have time to sit and listen. I'm going to go do this. Understand? You see, we're supposed to cry out to the Lord in our time of trouble, and when he responds to us, we're supposed to continue to follow him. Continue to follow him. I like the way that Mark stated this in Mark's version in verse 52. It says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. And it says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. So did you hear that? Focus in Mark 10:52 on the word way. It says, Jesus said, you have been delivered, basically. Now make a way for yourself. Go thy way. But instead, this blind man chose to follow Jesus, it says, in the way. Jesus said, go your way. He said, no, Jesus, my way now is your way. He followed Jesus in the way. What do you mean, the way? Do you realize that Jesus spoke this? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So you have to go in Jesus' way. When the early church, when they began to be a church of believers, other people would say, hey, they believe in the way. That man made his new way, Jesus' way. How many of us go our own way after God responds? Now, number two. First is this man followed Jesus. Number two, I want you to notice the next thing this blind man did. It's in verse 43. He followed, notice this, how? Glorifying God, right? Amen. He didn't just receive deliverance that Jesus had for him from his blindness. He followed him glorifying God. You see, he continued to praise God. He continued to bear witness of Jesus. He continued to cry out to Jesus, but instead of crying out in need, he began to cry out in praise.
Amen.
Don't miss the last verse. Jesus said, receive thy sight. And what happened after he received his sight? Strong verse. He followed him glorifying God. Was he praising God? Was he crying out to God? You see, this man changed from saying, Jesus, Jesus, please, Come and help me. I have no other thing. I can't see. I'm blind. I'm begging. Life's not getting any better. I'm in this terrible, terrible trouble. Like David said, this poor man cried out. Now this man's crying out, but it's not, Jesus, Jesus, help me. It's Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. This Jesus came and touched me. I once was blind and now I see. Praise Jesus. Look at this man, Jesus. Is he still crying out? Yes, but he's crying out in praise. This man ain't going to be blind again. How do you know that? What he did after he received the blessing. How many of you can pretty much by this point say, oh me, this has happened to me? We can't we? We forget. We get caught up in life. We get caught up in the actual deliverance. And we forget the deliverer. I want you to remember this man was not ashamed in the original story to cry out. When they told him to be quiet, he still cried out. It says all the much more, right? You know, people don't want to hear you cry out to Jesus. Those people, even Christians, didn't want to hear him cry out, but now he's crying out in praise. Do you know that we have an issue today in our society, even the Christian society? Something's wrong when they hear you cry out in praise. You come to a church and hear some people that say amen. They might raise their hand. We sing How Great Thou Art this morning.
Come on.
How in the world can you not join in praise?
Amen.
That's a praise song. It's talking about how great he is. And then it's talking about, then sings my soul. It's your soul that got delivered. I don't care if you didn't have a marriage problem or a child problem or a financial problem or a physical problem. You had a sin problem just like me. So then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I'm singing about the God that delivered me. So if he really did, then you're crying out to him after the fact.
Amen.
And when something happens and you say, well, I saw people. I mean, that's just not me. That's just not me. You see, this is one of our biggest problems today in our society as Christians. We cry out to Jesus in belief. He delivers us. But then we fail to consistently cry out to him in praise. And you say, well, I'm just not like that. I want to tell you, God wants to hear your praise. He asks you for it. If you don't believe it, go and read Psalms 100. Get down to verse 4 where it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When Carrie started singing that song, I didn't know she was going to sing, talking about blessing his name this morning, and I knew this was already in here. I knew we were on target.
Amen.
I'm supposed to bless his name. Not give him a blessing, but bless his name. That's what this blind man was doing. That's Jesus. Here comes Jesus. I'm following behind him. You know why I'm following? Because I can see, because he heals me, because he blessed me. That's how I can see. This blind man, he's crying out to God. He's waving his hand. And when you see somebody express theirself, and you turn and you say, well, that's just not me. We've become too reserved to praise him. We've become embarrassed to praise him. We've become embarrassed to glorify him.
Come on, brother. Preach it.
We think too much about what others will say, and we don't consider what God must be saying about us. You know, it's that conversation. It's me looking at my conversation saying, okay, am I really happy about it? Then will my conversation look like the one that I had with Brad, or will it look like the one that I had with Reggie? Was it a fluid conversation? Am I excited about what he's done for me? Or am I just giving God one of these? Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's good. Glad to be here. Yeah, it was all right day. Yeah, it was good. Or am I excited praising God? Do the people around me know, listen, this guy's on fire for God. If they call you a nut, that's what they'll call you. If you're on fire for God, they'll call you a nut. That's okay. If you're raising your hand and you're praising God, that's what this blind man did. That's okay. If you're singing songs to God and glorifying his name and they say, hey, you're just crazy, man. You've went off the deep end. That's okay.
That's me.
You're not doing it for them. But listen,
amen.
It's still going to affect them. We have to be able to glorify God because he's worthy of our praise. We need to get off the thing of saying, listen, I believe that the house of God is a reverent place. I believe when you come in here, it needs to be reverent what happens up here with the word of God preached. We need to be reverent in the service. But let me tell you something. Glorifying and praising God is reverent. If you don't believe it, turn to Revelation 4 and 5 and notice what you'll be doing in heaven. In the biggest worship service ever, where you got so many cherubims and seraphims flying around singing holy, holy, holy. People are on their knees casting their crowns at his feet and saying, Lord God Almighty, you always were, you are, and you always will be. Is that irreverent? No, it's not irreverent. That's praising God. We praise him in song. We praise him by being able to confirm. When we say amen, it's not because we're wanting to make me feel good. You're not confirming me. You're confirming God's word. When you're saying glory to God, you're praising for something he spoke to you. When you're kneeling before him in prayer, that's another way of response. God is saying, I spoke to you. Come and kneel before me. When you respond to him, you're saying, I'm not ashamed. I'm like this blind man. Tell me not to, and I'll do it that much more. Why? Because something happened to me. And when it happened to me, it made me want to praise. Unless something really didn't happen to you. No crowns for being reverent in church in heaven. Or reserved, excuse me. He wants you to be reverent. At this time, those of you that are still kicking against this are saying, oh, you act like you want to make us do it. I don't want to make you do anything because that would be insincere. It is not my job, my purpose to make you want to do it. I'm sharing the word of God. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But when we fail to praise God this way, we stop the conversation between us and God. You see, we cry out to him in need. He answers us with a response of healing or deliverance and then continues to speak to us through the scriptures, through songs. But when we choose not to respond to him in praise or prayer or action, this stops the conversation. I just don't feel like I'm close to God. I don't feel like God's speaking to me anymore. I don't feel like I'm like I used to be. Well, first thing you need to check is see if there is an open response to you and God back and forth, back and forth. It won't be God that stops the conversation unless you just choose to keep that sin in your life. Usually it's us. You blessed me with this, but sorry I got too busy, but let me go give you a couple of words here in the evening. Tired, I'm getting ready to go to bed, but I know you gave me a good day. You did protect my children through the day. You did keep me healthy. I am able to do it, but because you've done all that thing, I ran myself ragged. Don't have too much time to pray to you tonight, God. Yes, God, you spoke to me in the service, but I really want to come and bow before you. I'm not ashamed, really. I'm not. It's just that, you know, the people are here and nobody's doing this, and so whatever it is. You see, this blind man, he was changed. He cried out to God before, but after it happened, first thing he did was follow God. Second thing he did was glorify God. Third thing he did, I want you to notice lastly, when we cry out to God in praise, do you know that it's contagious? Read the last sentence in verse 43. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Do you know what happened? This man started a revolution. This man started a movement. The blind man started the movement. Have you ever heard that message? Absolutely not. He started a movement. What happened? He chose to keep crying out in praise. And because of that, it said when all them saw him and saw that he could see, they began to praise. All them started praising because he praised. Same thing that was happening with David when he understood it, right? You see, what happens if this man stops crying out in praise after God delivers him from what he was crying out to begin with? If he fails to respond in that conversation, guess what happens? The conversation stops. But here's what happens in here. You and I come into this room. We bring the presence of God with us into this room. A song is sang, scripture is read, and God speaks to us. Do you realize if you fail to respond to him, whether it is by a verbal response or whether it's by a physical response or whether it's through a prayer response when he's saying, hey, kneel before me and pray, we stop the conversation. You say, well, that's my business. Well, it's not if it affects the person beside of you. You say, well, does it affect the person beside of you? Yes, you can quench the Holy Spirit by saying, I don't want to talk. That's how you quench a conversation, right? Not right now. You say, well, you think that's really what it means? Well, let me tell you about a crippled man in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John walked up upon as they were going up to the temple. And this man was a beggar too. And he was in a bad situation. If you read Acts chapter 3, he looked up begging and said, hey, alms, alms, can you give me something? And Peter looked down and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Let me tell you what happened to this man. This man began to walk, began to shout, began to leap, and he wouldn't stop shouting. And if you go back and read that story, it says, and when the others saw him shouting and praising, they began to shout and praise. Praising is contagious.
That's right.
That's good.
If we come in here with the attitude, I shall not be moved today. I'm going to endure the service. I'm going to endure everything that's said, but I've got this going on. Let me just go and do this, and we come out of here. Then guess what? You're quenching the spirit. God wants you to be open to conversation when you come in here. Conversation means you're responding to him. A crowd in praise. You say, well, hey, what do I praise him about? Praise him for the ability to praise him. Like David said, praise him that he gave you life. Praise him that he gave you eternal life. Praise him. Why? Because it could affect the person beside of you. I'll let you a little in on a little preacher's thing, okay? I can't tell you how many people and being able to lead them to the Lord, talking about coming close and say, listen, I knew you were preaching. I knew it was preaching to me, and I was under conviction, but here's what happened. I was back there, and I really felt like my guts were just churning inside of me. I felt guilty. I needed to get saved, but, I mean, nobody came up. And by the time I thought about this, one person did, but I didn't want to get up. He said, that's not my problem. If God was moving you to come, it was. Why? Sometimes he moves us to lead in praise. Now, you don't ever come up because you think, okay, well, preacher wants me to come up. That's not what I'm saying. Understand what I'm saying. If God speaks to you, your job is to respond to him. Simple as that. Your response could be the contagious thing that lets the Spirit flow from person to person that causes someone else to be having a freedom that helps them. You say, what do you mean help them? If they want to come, they'll come. No, the devil is back there right now saying, don't get up. Don't get up. Does this make sense? So after the healing, God expects you to follow him. He expects you to glorify and praise him. And then realize in glorifying and praising him, others will praise him. Just three little things from this verse. Well, what do we take away? Well, God continued to do it through the scriptures. I have to mention this, Carrie. I heard that song this morning when you started singing it, and I just knew God was just all over it. Paul and Silas. I was using this, and that started as that part of the service here because it was such a good example. Paul and Silas, they were thrown in prison. Anybody know that story, Acts 16? They were thrown in prison with a bunch of jailers, with a bunch of prisoners. The other prisoners, they weren't thrown in prison for praising God. Paul and Silas were thrown in prison for praising God. The other criminals or prisoners they were in there with, the Bible tells you, what did they do when they got in prison? They prayed, they sang, they praised. Guess what happens to contagious praise? The other prisoners got saved and started singing and praising. You say, how do you know? Because they didn't run when the gates were open, right? And then because they started praising and didn't run, the jailer got saved. All because two men went into the prison and didn't care all the much more. They said, I'll praise him no matter if I'm in the prison. I'll praise him if I'm in the middle of my problem. I'll praise him for what he's done. I'll praise him for what he's going to do. Those guys had open conversation with God. Listen, they didn't have bad days. If you can say, I'm not going to have a bad day even when I'm in the prison of, in the bondage and prison of something, you got a good life, man. And God will give you that life as long as you learn to cry out to him after he delivers you. So we need to cry out more than just when we're in that spot, right?
That's right.
Paul and Silas cried out when they were in another spot. Why? They knew he was going to bring them through that. I believe the Bible tells me he'll never leave me, he'll never forsake me. Is that true? When we fail to cry out to God in praise, consider how we affect all the others who would be moved by the Spirit of God having conversation with us. You know, it's no different than me sitting here and having a conversation. If I come down to Mike and I have a conversation, and that conversation is right around Keith, right around Chandler, if all of them are hearing that conversation, then they're in on that conversation, right? Your response and praise to the conversation that God's giving you through the word or through song, other people are hearing that conversation. They're in earshot. They're in eyeshot. So what happens? They get in on the conversation. Oh, really? Is that what's going on? Well, praise God. That's contagious praise. That's what happens. So today, it really matters how we cry out to God after he's delivered us. First and foremost, the most important question is, have you ever cried out to him to deliver you? Are you saved? Do you know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you've accepted the Lord as your Savior? What that takes is crying out to God and saying, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he went to the cross. I believe that his blood can cover my sins. I want you to be Lord of my life. Cry out to him, save me. And then once he does, follow him. Cry out to him in praise. Christians, how many times do we get to just the delivering part of the story and our lives don't live out verse 43? Are you crying out in praise like he is worthy for you to cry out in praise? Are you holding back? Your Father wants to hear you cry out in praise. A lot of times when you just don't need anything, especially when you do, but sometimes when you just don't.
That's right.
You cry out to him in song. You can cry out to him by kneeling before him and praying. You can cry out to him by just raising your hands. You can cry out in all kinds of ways. It's up to you how to have your conversation with God. My thing I feel led to do is make you examine to whether you are having that conversation, you are responding. You think about that during the invitation and respond to God this morning. Stand with me. Father God, I love you and praise you and thank you for who you are. I thank you for speaking to us through your word. I thank you, God, for the accurateness of your word, Lord, where you find us where we are. As I've told you before, Lord, I'm so sorry all those years. You did so many things for me, so many things for my family, and I failed to move past just to thank you. Father, I thank you for each person that's here this morning, and I ask God that you would let us see ourselves this morning, whether we're on the other side of that crying out, whether we need to cry out for salvation. If there's anyone here this morning that needs to cry out and have you heal their soul, I pray God this morning that you give them a boldness to step forward and cry out to you, Lord. And God, for those Christians that are here that have done that, but Lord, we've become distracted. God, as they cry out to you this morning, I pray, God, that you just renew your relationship with them. Lord, for those that just want to come and cry out to you because you've done so many things, you're just such an awesome Father. I pray, God, you just pick them up and hold them this morning. Lord, teach us to cry out to you. Thank you for your word that teaches it. In Jesus' name, amen.